So it's October 1st, 2022. Word green here. Let me just check something here for a second. Am I recording? Yes. I needed to verify that because I'm excited, but I'm a little bit, you know, I'm a little bit cautious because I might get confused here because I'm doing a lot of new things today. This is a new thing for me. I've got this OBS running in a way where now I figured out how to get my head appearing in the shot, right? In a way that it's, well, it's actually not centered properly here. What have I done? But, oh, I know how I can fix that maybe. It's just by adjusting. Yeah. Yeah, right. So I can adjust the cam on the laptop lid just slightly. Now, how do I get that? How do I get myself centered? Maybe this is okay. I don't know. But it's pretty good. I mean, I'm pretty thrilled with it because I figured out I can use OBS and add a source to my scene. Like I've got a screen capture scene in OBS, and then you can add source by clicking on the plus button. I added a source and I selected, instead of display capture, which I'm just, you know, using to capture my laptop display, I've added on top of that the video capture. So it's using the cam to capture the video, and in that source I was able to adjust the scaling. I can't remember now how I achieved that. Now come to think of it, I don't remember how I did it. It's the sizing, was it? Let me think. Oh, use Alt. You use Alt to drag the... You use Alt, and then you drag the sides of the window to adjust the framing. But I can't remember how I scaled it, but that it's not important right now. The thing is, although I may not seem to be, I'm a very highly technical person, and when I get into the technical, I can achieve significant progress, or significant, what's the word I'm looking for? Starts with in, I think. Not ingress, but, you know, in. I have in the past, you know, I can delve deep into the technical aspects. But if I do that, the problem is I lose out on my creative aspects and my improvisation, which is, by the way, that's the way to pronounce that word. My improvisation suffers if I delve too deeply into the technical. So today, I'm thrilled with OBS. I want to talk about it because it's an amazing program, which is just amazing. The fact that I was able to solve this without getting another app. I mean, I probably could have got another app in order to zoom in on my cam, right? But if I'm trying to get centered, I don't have a way to get centered here. I'll have to sit in a strange place for today until I recenter the camera tomorrow, because I'm not going to redo it right now. So the good news for people coming to Canada, people who want to visit Canada, there's news. Canada no longer has any restrictions on entering the country. There's no more COVID restrictions. You don't need a mask. Don't need to have a vaccination. You don't need to prove any vaccination. Nothing. So Canada has lifted all restrictions to do with COVID as of today. This is the day. So as of today, anyone can enter Canada without that COVID, rigmarole, without all the COVID procedures. So that's exciting and great news for everybody who wants to come to Canada. And the other thing in the news, now the other thing, the big thing is this, I think OBS is big news for me because now I've gotten a way to create my larger cam image of myself while I'm talking about the scriptures. And I mean, obviously it's a small thing, right? If you do this every day. But the thing is, OBS saves this. And then you can adjust it in the preview screen on the left. In OBS, it's on the left. You adjust the cam size and everything. I could investigate right now, but I might change something. I don't want to do that. So I'm not going to click on anything right while I'm making the video here, just because I want to. It's just not what I intended at all today. I was happy with it, and it's close enough. But the transition is the button you click on to make your changes on the left appear on the right. When they appear on the right, that's your program. That's what's going to be recorded. So right now I should be recording that. I tested it. Hopefully it still works. Obviously it should. But I'm also recording on the Zoom H4n stereo recorder. It also does 4-channel, but I don't have additional mics. I should have additional mics, so I have 4-channel recording on the H4n Zoom, because if I had 4 channels with the additional mics, it would just give me more audio to choose from in the final analysis. I think I'll do that sometime, but I would need to use really good quality electrets or something. I'd want 2 the same, so I don't have 2 super duper mics the same. I've got like the big cartridge mic that I have. I don't have 2 of those. And the M88 Beyer mic that I have, they're both Beyer actually. The M88 that I have, is I only have 1 of as well, so I can't use those mics. Those are great for audio too. But if I want to use a pair of them, because there are two inputs on the H4n, I'd need to use 2 of my Electret mics. I have some AKG Electret mics. I've got, they're great actually, but I'm trying to think, does it provide phantom power? I think I've used it before with the mics. I think it possibly provides phantom power, but they need phantom power. Well, so does my cartridge mic, and so do my, or I should say my 5-position a multi-pattern mic, whether it's a cartridge, I'm not sure. I think it is. The other thing it's not a cartridge mic. What am I thinking? A cartridge might be something else. It's a 5-position multi-pattern mic. I don't want to say cartridge anymore. I'll look it up later. But the other thing is, it requires phantom power. You know, the M88 is a dynamic coil mic or whatever. It doesn't require phantom power. It might be what's called a cartridge mic, actually. Can I look that up? Let's see if I can look that up. What is a cartridge mic? Let's find out. What's a cartridge mic? I have a feeling it's dynamic. It sounds like it's a condenser. Excuse me. Six types of microphones. Omnidirectional. Oh, those are just patterns. Yeah. Like, yeah, my multi-pattern mic can produce omnidirectional, cardioid, hypercardioid, or something like super or hypercardioid. And then it produces bidirectional figure 8, you know, as well. So it's got omni, cardioid, probably has hyper and super and and figure 8. That's what I think it has. Or maybe it could have. It might have a unidirectional instead of one of the cardioids too. I'm not sure what all the. I mean, they're just different patterns that are more or less more or less unidirectional, I suppose, right? Like a cardioid is more unidirectional. In other words, it takes sound only from one side. But anyway, these mics that I've got here that are built onto the. They're part of the H4n integrated mics. They're pretty good quality. So I'm also pretty happy with the Zoom H4n, which I haven't used for many years until recently. I forgot that I could use it. I didn't think I needed it or whatever. This is a backup in case something happens to my video when I'm recording. It's got batteries in it, so maybe if my power fails, I can unplug it and get the batteries working, and I'll be able to continue my recording or something. I'm not sure what will happen if the power fails, actually. I should be plugged into uninterruptible. I just realized. Yeah, that's a good point. I just thought of that. Anyway, I can do better. The thing is, we can always do better, but we don't want to be burdened down with the technical so that it ruins our spontaneity. And by the way, I saw an excellent review, speaking of spontaneity, from the YouTube channel Greg's Gadgets of the iPhone 14 Pro Max. It was an excellent review. I mean, I never really got a review before of a phone that gave me a feeling of what it was really like to use a phone for somebody who uses a phone, really, you know, in their everyday life. Someone who uses a lot of what their phone can do, or somebody who uses their phone in almost every aspect of their life, you know, and actually, you know, he used it in this case, but you know, all day long. But for somebody who uses their phone a lot during the day, but in this case, he used it all day long and tested the battery and used it, you know, vigorously, you know, I forget the word he used. He used it with a lot of different apps and things like that, you know, a lot of video and things that he was using it for. He was using it vigorously, I guess, you know, I could say, but he was using it dynamically, or, I mean, thoroughly, or, you know, intensively. That's the word I want. He was using his phone intensively all day, brand new iPhone 14 Pro Max, and it didn't last him more than about, you know, 12 hours or something, but it didn't get him all the way to the very end of the day. So, you know, but it was, and that is the big thing about it, is the battery is a problem, because it's not much better than the iPhone 13. It doesn't really upgrade the battery. Like that, if you go to another generation of phone, I would think Apple, why not? I mean, why not produce a phone that's efficient in battery life? Like the next generation should last for 1.5 days or 2 days, not 1 day, not the same. Every generation should get better, right? So the fact that it doesn't get better is just another reason, another excuse not to upgrade. If you want people, or not to buy, like if you want first-time buyers, all you have to do is produce a phone that can double the battery life, or do something, even just one thing like that. It doesn't have to have like four times the quality of the camera or whatever it is. I mean, the camera's amazing. I mean, that's not even four times. 48 pixels. I guess that is four times the quality, maybe, but it's, I mean, it could be, it's phenomenally more quality for the camera, but, you know, it's not really that usable, because it takes up more data storage when you store the photos, so it's not really that great, right? Even though you can get compression apps that do compression of the data on the phone and stuff like that. I was researching that the other day. That's not really something that I'm interested in. I'm interested in buying something that already works out of the box, that does everything that I want. Anyway, so that's, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, Apple can do this because Apple is really good at doing things with their own hardware and their own software and their own. They manufacture everything themselves now. I mean, they have Apple Silicon, which they first developed in their iPhones, and then they transmogrify is the thing that I was trying to remember. It's a command you use in Linux and Mac OS to make all your photos smaller. You can say transmogrify, I think that's the right command, something like that, and then you can find out what it is if you know that it's transmogrify, right? But you can then say, let's make all my photos of this in this folder, make all the photos in one folder this size, and make them all smaller. It's so much simpler to do that rather than sizing them one by one. You can take every photo in a folder and say transmogrify star dot star or whatever, but you specify what you want the size to be within the command transmogrify. Somehow, I forget the detail. Obviously, I don't need to give all the details. You can just find out what it is, you know, through your own efforts. But it's not that hard. But transmogrify is a great thing that I've used before to get all my photos, all my digital photos, shrunk. And it takes a while, because it's like it's got to, you know, crunch the numbers on all these photos. It takes some minutes to do it, I guess, but you can convert a lot of photos. The more photos, the longer it takes to do it, but obviously you can do it. There's a lot of great things happening on the channels I'm watching. I feel like we've got some, I've got some brothers, you know, out there. And, you know, I think I love the way that I'm learning about food now, but other people I realize are not. Obviously, we're not going to enjoy the same exact food. We're not going to believe in the same exact things. Oh, that reminds me, something I want to check. Yeah, let me see if I can find this. How am I going to do this? Okay, I don't know if I can do this. Yeah, let's go to Romans. This is a really good scripture. I remember. Romans 8 and 28. It's a fascinating scripture here. For those of us who are wondering whether we are believers or not, this is one way to detect whether you're a believer. It says here, for those of us who are believers, apparently it's written for us, if we are believers, it says in Romans 8 and 28, but first of all, it's Paul. Paul's writing to the Romans. He says, "Now we know that God makes all his works cooperate together for the good of those who love God." Now that's incredible. That statement is fantastic. I mean, is it possible that God, if you even believe in God, is it possible that God makes all his works cooperate together? I mean, could he possibly make all his works cooperate together for the good of those who love God? Like, that is a phenomenal statement, because it says no matter what happens, it's saying it's going to turn out to benefit you. No matter what it is, it's going to turn out to benefit you. And that is an incredibly exciting idea for somebody who believes or wants to believe in God, because it gives you the confidence to say, I will believe in God. I'm going to try it, because why shouldn't I? Because it'll give me confidence, and if it's true, all things will work out to my benefit, so why not try it, right? It's a phenomenal, it's an encouraging scripture, but also for those of us who've been faithful for many years already, tried to be faithful, not that we're perfect, for those of us who've tried to be faithful, I shouldn't say tried to be perfect, we try to be righteous, you know, I guess, and then for those of us who try to be faithful, and we've been trying for many years, I mean, then it's encouraging to say that all things, God makes all his works cooperate. All, which is basically, all his works means all things, because God created all things. So it's like, he makes all, I mean, that's the idea of what God is. He's the creator. Jehovah created everything. Yahweh, the Tetragrammaton, that's his name, the Tetragrammaton, which is represented as Yahweh or Jehovah. He created all things. He makes all his works cooperate together, is saying he makes all things cooperate together for our benefit. Cooperate. It's like corporate, but it's not. Cooperate together. He makes all things cooperate together for our benefit. Can you believe that? Isn't that... That is incredible. So if you've been a believer, or tried to be a believer, you know, if you've been faithful, for many years, that's encouraging to say that even if some things haven't worked out for you yet, hang in there is what it's saying, because all things work out to your benefit if you're a believer in God. And God, if assuming that God is real, it will happen for you. That's what it's saying. So, yeah. So, and the other thing is, if you've tried to be a faithful person, you've undoubtedly already seen that scripture, probably, and you've already witnessed that scripture coming true for you in some ways. That's the thing. You've probably seen amazing things develop and happen in such a way that it benefited you, where you didn't think it was possible that it could, because you were faithful enough not to interfere with what was happening long enough to see the result that God had in mind. It's amazing. But anyway, so my annuity came through, and that's an example of something that good that happened for me, but it doesn't mean that the future is assured, you know. Like I was going to say, you know, Levy, my brother over at Gotham Chess, you're experiencing some great blessings, it looks like to me, in your life right now. I know, I'm sure you have problems like everybody else, but you're experiencing wonderful blessings, it looks like. And I'm happy for you, brother. I mean, it's significant, to say the least, you know, to see somebody that's doing well, or experiencing some good things. It makes Jehovah happy, I believe. It makes me happy. I want to read two chapters today in the Bible because, well, at least, but, you know, I'm only thinking of two. It's Proverbs 31 because we're October 1st, and we want to start Ecclesiastes 1 on the first day of October so we can start keeping the numbers, the chapters of Ecclesiastes in line with the date, the days of October. And I didn't start September with that in mind. When I first started doing the Proverbs, I wasn't attempting to start in line with September. That was not what I was thinking. I just happened to be that way. But now I think we'll try to keep it going. So it's pretty great. I mean, this is amazing. I'm saying that my future is not... What I wanted to say to Levy, too, is your future is never really assured. Like, I mean, it's good to be faithful, but you don't, it's wise to be cautious about being overconfident about the future. That's what came to my mind, is that nothing is really guaranteed. Tomorrow is not even guaranteed. We could be dead tomorrow, any of us. So that's something to be aware of and to be humble about, I think. We should be planning for the future and have great optimism too. I mean, that's the thing. We shouldn't be afraid of any human. That's the other thing, is fear of man puts all this problem. Fear of man is a big problem. We don't need to fear humans. We can fear Jehovah alone and not fear any humans. And that solves a lot of the problems that occur in the world that are caused by fear of man. Like, for example, warfare. Very often warfare is, you can explain it as fear of man. You're afraid of your neighbors, so you go to war. I mean, there's a lot of problems in the world caused by fear of man. A lot. It's just endless. So we don't want to be fearful of men, I think, is a great thing. And that's another theme in the Bible very frequently. You know, what can man do to me? Man can't do anything, really, compared to what Jehovah can do. The words of Lemuel, chapter 31. So we finished, really, the Proverbs of Solomon with chapter 29, and then chapter 30 was the words of Agur, and now we're chapter 31, the words of Lemuel the king, the weighty message that his mother gave to him in correction. Let's pray for a moment. Jehovah, help us to be attentive and to retain, and first of all, to absorb the information, to be able to utilize it wisely, and to understand it in a way that pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen. What am I saying, O son of mine? And what, O son of my belly? And what, O son of my vows? Do not give your vital energy to women, nor your ways to what leads to wiping out kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, or for high officials to say, where is intoxicating liquor, that one may not drink and forget what is decreed and pervert the cause of any of the sons of affliction. Give intoxicating liquor, you people, to the one about to perish, and wine to those who are bitter of soul. Let one drink and forget one's poverty, and let one remember one's own trouble no more. Open your mouth for the speechless one in the cause of all those passing away. Open your mouth. Judge righteously and plead the cause of the afflicted one and the poor one. A capable wife who can find? Her value is far more than that of corals. In her, the heart of her owner has put trust, and there is no gain lacking. She has rewarded him with good and not bad all the days of her life. She has sought wool and linen, and she works at whatever is the delight of her hands. She has proved to be like the ships of a merchant. From far away she brings in her food. She also gets up while it is still night and gives food to her household and the prescribed portion to her young women. She has considered a field and proceeded to obtain it. From the fruitage of her hands she has planted a vineyard. She has girded her hips with strength, and she invigorates her arms. She has sensed that her trading is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. Her hands she has thrust out to the distaff, and her own hands take hold of the spindle. Her palm she has stretched out to the afflicted one, and her hands she has thrust out to the poor one. She does not fear for her household because of the snow, for all her household are clothed with double garments. Coverlets she has made for herself. Her clothing is of linen and wool dyed reddish purple. Her owner is someone known in the gates, when he sits down with the older men of the land. She has made even undergarments and proceeded to sell them, and belts she has given to the tradesmen. Strength and splendor are her clothing, and she laughs at a future day. Her mouth she has opened in wisdom, and the law of loving kindness is upon her tongue. She is watching over the goings-on of her household, and the bread of laziness she does not eat. Her sons have risen up and proceeded to pronounce her happy. Her owner rises up, and he praises her. There are many daughters that have shown capableness, but you have ascended above them all. Charm may be false, and prettiness may be vain, but the woman that fears Jehovah is the one that procures praise for herself. Give her of the fruitage of her hands, and let her works praise her, even in the gates. That was Proverbs 31. There are a lot of wonderful thoughts about a capable wife in that proverb. It's a very educational chapter. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. All right, let me see if I can get this camera just slightly. I think I can probably orient it slightly better. There we go. Ah, that's good. Yeah, that is better, I think. When I turn this way, it's interesting. It looks like I'm looking in the wrong direction. No, it's just because of what I'm doing. It's reverse image, I guess. Yeah. That's the way, right? No, it's not reverse image. Left hand comes on the opposite side. So it's not like an iPhone. That's good, though, in some ways. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The words of the congregator, the son of David, the king in Jerusalem. The greatest vanity, the congregator has said. The greatest vanity. Everything is vanity. What profit does a man have in all his hard work, at which he works hard under the sun? A generation is going and a generation is coming, but the earth is standing even to time indefinite. And the sun also has flashed forth, and the sun has set, and it is coming panting to its place where it is going to flash forth. The wind is going to the south, and it is circling around to the north. Round and round, it is continually circling, and right back to its circlings, the wind is returning. All the winter torrents are going forth to the sea, yet the sea itself is not full. To the place where the winter torrents are going forth, there they are returning so as to go forth. All things are wearisome. No one is able to speak of it. The eye is not satisfied at seeing, neither is the ear filled from hearing. That which has come to be, that is what will come to be. And that which has been done, that is what will be done. And so there is nothing new under the sun. Does anything exist of which one may say, see this, it is new? It has already had existence for time indefinite. What has come into existence is from the time prior to us. There is no remembrance of people of former times, nor will there be of those also who will come to be later. There will prove to be no remembrance even of them among those who will come to be still later on. I, the congregator, happened to be king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I set my heart to seek and explore wisdom in relation to everything that has been done under the heavens, the calamitous occupation that God has given to the sons of mankind in which to be occupied. I saw all the works that were done under the sun, and look, everything was vanity and a striving after wind. That which is made crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot possibly be counted. I spoke with my heart, saying, look, I myself have greatly increased in wisdom more than anyone that happened to be before me in Jerusalem, and my own heart saw a great deal of wisdom and knowledge. And I proceeded to give my heart to knowing wisdom and to knowing madness, and I have come to know folly, that this too is a striving after wind. For in the abundance of wisdom there is an abundance of vexation, so that he that increases knowledge increases pain. That was Ecclesiastes chapter 1. So it's good to have that done, because that is the most stressful probably part of talking, is when I have to read something and I want to get it read correctly and, you know, perform well during the reading process. It's not without stress, certainly. It does have some stress. The Bible, if you've never tried the Bible, if you want to take it in some other way, can I zoom this? Let's see. Yeah, probably I can, but no, maybe not. There. I can just, yeah. Yeah, if you want to study the Bible with a very, free spirit, you might just try getting a text version of, a paper version of the Bible, a bound Bible, and just open it randomly and read a verse in a random location on, more than one occasion. Try that on different occasions and see what you find. Because when I've been doing it, when I've tried that recently, and recently in the past, 20 years maybe, or maybe 40 years, I don't know. That's recent, because when I was younger, I didn't have the Bible, I didn't think of it, I didn't use it. But since I've got the Bible, sometime around 1988 or 9 or 1990, or when I started really studying it in 89 and or 88, I may have started to do that. Ever since I started using the Bible as a resource and used it as a random source, a way to get information, I noticed that it's been extremely great. It's been good. Like, it's been useful. That's the word I'm looking for. It's been useful. It's been able to be used even in the way that you just randomly open it and read something. It's useful even in that way. But it's useful, at least I found it was, but it's useful, of course, when you start to get to know it better. You, Jehovah, you can't do it on your own. That's the thing. Your brain doesn't function because you created your brain. You didn't create your brain. But Jehovah can use your brain to help, to cause you to remember things. He can call things back or cause you to remember things when something else happens. It triggers a thought process in your brain. So when you know the Bible, all these principles in the Bible can be called back to mind, and they are called back to mind sometimes involuntarily. You don't always consciously try to remember, it just flashes back into your mind, or comes back, not like a flashback, but I mean it, I guess it, maybe it's slightly like a flashback. It's a recall event where you recall that scripture. And then if you know the wording, you can do a search, which I talked about before. I've got my, for example, I have my my NWTIN Bible Research Program that I recently installed on Apple Silicon using DOSBox-X. I talked about that in a previous video not long ago, and that's another way to search. That's for searching the reference version from 1984. By the way, I want to correct the Insight volumes that's contained in that Bible Research Program, NWTIN. That Insight volume is from 1988, is what I recall now. It's from 88, whereas the Bible was published in 1984. So I received the Insight book right around the time, it just came out right around the time I was starting to study the Bible. And I really read a lot of it. I was really, at that time, I really believed a lot of the things, including the chronology. I don't any longer believe that it's necessary to adhere to any of something, anything that's not inside the Bible itself. We don't have to adhere to that because it's not in the Bible. But I no longer believe the chronology that's presented in that Insight book. I have the chronology that I've discovered from my own research, and I've presented that in all of my articles starting in about 2009. The Bible chronology that I've presented, which I've also called it the genealogy, and it's based on the Green family, also from my own perspective, being in the Green family, descended from my family name of Green. And the word Green, G-A-R-E-N-E, I'm trying to remember what that means. That word Green is, I believe, arc. That's what it means. Is that correct? It would make sense because the A-R-G is in that, G-A-R and A-R-G. Or it's a rearrangement, an arg, arc. G can be a similar to a C sound, it's close. In the history of language, consonants that are related are like G and C are related, K and G are related sounds, they're close. So they'd get interchanged in certain translations between languages and so on. As are even R and L are interchanged, and what else? And they're often confused in the Orient, in the Far Eastern languages that can't pronounce one, they will use the other. So R and L are interchangeable in that sense. And what else? Oh, and G and actually J and G are interchangeable too. The soft G sound is interchangeable with the J sound. And these are thoughts I had when I was extremely young. I remember thinking about, why is G and J not interchangeable? Or I didn't understand. I had this thing about, I had this awareness of the J and the G being somehow related, but I was prohibited from equating them because in English we didn't do that, at least in the school that I was, you know, taught, in the school from which I was raised, in which I was raised, from which I was taught, by which I was trained, or just in the conventional culture, you know, we didn't actually have the ability to equate those. So it's interesting that the Middle Eastern or the Arabic language would be able to do that, understand that. Speaking of which, this week, next week, tomorrow, starting tomorrow, the week that starts tomorrow, that's the week of the next LIV Golf tournament in Bangkok, Thailand, right? Yeah, Bangkok's in Thailand, I believe. That rolls off my tongue like it's correct. But anyway, so that should be interesting. And I mean, so many great things. Today, I don't have as much pain in the tooth. I just hope we filled it with enough glue, so when the tooth was put in, there was enough glue that there's no air gaps, because an air gap is where that I feel that sensitivity with that, especially with that tooth. So I hope there's no air gaps. But the fact that I had no pain the day following suggests that it's possibly going to be good. It's just, that's an unusual thing. I've never had that before, where I had no pain at all following a procedure with that tooth, any procedure with that tooth, where I had zero pain 24 hours after. That was amazing. And I mean, you would have that whether you took freezing or not. I didn't take freezing, but whether you took freezing, you'd have that anyway. So I mean, I've just been, yeah, I'm thrilled about, yeah. I'm considering actually getting an Apple Watch now. I mean, it's weird. I'm actually coming around to it because I saw Vadim's recent, today's video from Max Tech that Vadim was talking about. And I like the casual review idea. I think that's what I relate to. I think maybe a lot of people relate to that. Also, is the casual review. You know what I should do? Oh, I know what I should do. You know what? I just realized what I should do here. I can do this in OBS, probably. Like, I can do this here. Let's say Alt. Let's select this, because it won't change anything. Okay, let's see. Oh, I need to drag this. Oh, yeah. Drag it into the center. Make it big. Right? Transition it like that. So I can drag this thing around, make it bigger. Is it big enough? Can I make it? Yeah. And transition it. So I can actually fill the screen with the cam this way. Yeah, so that's better. And I can bring it back and put it close to where the cam really is, so I'm looking sort of at the cam. Anyway, the OBS program is phenomenal. I can use it. I'm sure other people have been using this for years. I think I heard about this from Catherine for the first time. That's the first time I ever heard about it. A girl online with whom I've been chatting for some years, you know. But, I mean, I think you were the first one, Catherine, from whom I heard about OBS. I think so. Not 1,000% sure if that was where I first heard it, or even if it was you who mentioned it, but that's what I'm recalling. So, yeah, OBS, and the thing is, oh yeah, this is great. This is excellent, because it gets me to think about something I wouldn't have thought of otherwise. How did I arrange? Oh yeah, let's rearrange this again. Can I move it back? Yeah, let's go back again, just a tiny bit, centering this. Or I can actually rotate my chair now over here, so I don't need to have to move. I don't need to move that. Okay, so, yeah, what I was thinking is when you buy something, okay, when you first come around to buying something, or when you first get sold on an idea, that's what I'm trying to think of here. When a person is first sold on an idea to buy a new product, okay, it happens sometimes, very often I find, that you need to be exposed to it first. You're not going to necessarily interpret it like I want to buy that the first time you're exposed to it. Wait, I need to bring this over here. Hang on. Can I see? 44 minutes. Okay. 44 minutes. We're up to 44. Yeah. So, I mean, you need to be exposed to it, first of all. Now, sometimes you might be looking for a product. Very rarely you might be exposed to it right at the time when you want to buy that sort of product, where you're right in the market, ready to buy, and you see it. So you're exposed to it right at that time. But generally, you wouldn't buy that product just because you'd never heard of it before. You need to do your own research. You're going to consider. Remember, when I talk about brand loyalty, I'm talking about, brand loyalty that is beneficial to you. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, that's what I mean by brand loyalty. I mean, you are going to buy, like, I mean, I'm loyal to Apple because they're far less disappointing than the other manufacturers. That's the reason. It's not like I'm loyal to them because, you know, for no reason. It's not for no reason. Brand loyalty always has a reason behind it, okay? So, and all things being equal, that's when you've got brand loyalty. If all things are equal, why would you change brands? I mean, obviously you could. I know that. I've done it in the past. It just, I found in the past, that makes my life more confusing, and it destroys my concept of loyalty. It does a lot of bad things all at once if I'm not brand loyal. So brand loyalty is in a context that must be understood. But it is a very, it's a greatly underrated thing, I think, brand loyalty. So what I'm saying is, it's not about brand loyalty that I'm speaking here either. If you're exposed to an advertisement for a product right at the time you want to buy something, you're not going to buy what pops up randomly. You're going to, I mean, you may. I've probably done that in the past, and that's, I learned my lesson. Don't do that. You do your research. You decide what you want based on your, not just your brand loyalty, your brand understanding, your brand, all of your research. Loyalty to your own research, like loyalty to your own preferences. I mean, brand loyalty is related to loyalty to yourself. If you chose a brand, you chose it because you love yourself, and the way you are relates to that brand. So loyalty to a brand is loyalty to yourself. Really, that's what it really is. That's why brand loyalty is so important. Be loyal to yourself. Being loyal to yourself is what it's about. So when you do your own research, independent research on what you might want to buy, what products are the best, what brands are the best, how long have they been, you know, manufacturing products, what ratings do they have? And by the way, I mean, then you can make a decision. But by the way, Amazon, those ratings are the best thing that you can ever use, I believe, for purchasing a product if you want to have a trouble-free experience. And you want to, not just trouble-free. If you want to have an experience where you love the product, then the ratings from Amazon where they have like 100,000 people who bought the product and 4.5 out of 5 stars for 100,000 ratings, that's a product that is not guaranteed. It's just immensely more guaranteed to be a product you're going to love than these products that are like reviewed by one person with a 2-star rating, or, you know, or a 1-star rating for one person, or, I mean, obviously, right? But, I mean, even a 5-star rating for one person, it's actually a good indicator. It's just not something that is all that guaranteed, right? It's just not great. But even 10 people or 100 people, you know, if they're all 5 stars, that definitely says something. Even one person 5 stars says something. But 100,000 people 4.5 stars? That is significant. I mean, it's more than significant. It's almost overwhelmingly convincing that that's a product that you're, you know, it's just 99.999. I mean, it's 99.9999%. You're going to be happy with it. Almost. It gives you that. But you don't rely on it. Even so, you don't need to rely on that rating. You're still going to buy it and try it. I never return anything because I'd rather spend my effort on trying to research and get the best product and then buy it and you know, take my lumps if it's not good. But I mean, the thing is, it's you know, learn my lesson from making my mistakes. But like, well, for example, I bought a product that overheats, you know, so I don't trust that manufacturer now. But I paid like $100 and $200, whatever it was, $100 and some for a product that is an electronic device that overheats. So now I don't trust the manufacturer of that type of product. I probably don't trust them to make anything for me that's electronic. So that's just the way that goes. You know, you're not going to trust somebody if they let you down. But, you know, I mean, that's not true of humans. We can forgive our brothers. I'm just saying, and we can forgive people in general. It's just that, I mean, when they repent, I mean, that's the thing. The key is repentance. If there's no sign of repentance, then there's no opportunity to forgive. Coming back to the, there's no need in the case of a manufacturer to forgive that manufacturer. That's not the point. It's difficult for a manufacturer to become better than what they are. They'd have to fire all their people and bring new people. I mean, how, you know, it's difficult. They can't just change who they are. So you don't need to make the manufacturer get better. All you need to do is go to a different manufacturer, find a better one, and that's the solution to that issue. If you have an issue with a manufacturer, just move to another manufacturer. But so many things have come up because there was a great review. There's this husband and wife couple who do photography and video and things like that that are online on a YouTube channel. And they're like a wonderful, what was the word? It's like a beautiful couple, you know? They're a beautiful couple, like together. It's just, they seem to be, you know, so many good, they're you know, I'm trying to think of the word, the best word, qualified. They're quite technical, or they're quite qualified technically to do what they're doing and to talk about it. And yet they're a couple in this union that they have going for them. It's quite a nice thing to see. Yeah, and I was watching the video they made because I'm interested in possibly getting a cinematic camera. I'm cold. I could put my jacket on. I'm interested in buying possibly a cinematic camera but I know from my past experience, it's probably not a good idea to buy a camera because it just only does one thing. It's a camera. So I'd be better to buy a phone, right? A camera phone. Because cinematic cameras are, they're a one-trick pony, as we know people say, as is sometimes said, right? A one-trick pony. It can't do a lot of different things. It just does one thing. For somebody who doesn't get the analogy or that doesn't get the metaphor. So, yeah, that's better. I was thinking, I can't really buy a camera because I bought a camera years ago. You know, it got superseded by my iPhone, which is much better. So I'm a much better quality camera, and I've got this camera on the M1 Max too right now that I'm using, and it's significantly better than the Panasonic camera. This is just the webcam that I'm using now. But anyway, I want to get, it's my backup camera, I realize now. See, I didn't think I had this as a backup camera, but I don't need another backup camera because this is my backup camera. And the reason is because I got OBS, and OBS enables me to shrink the number of the resolution of the number of pixels, which is, that's resolution. You know, width by height in pixels is the resolution of a camera system. And I'm able to store the footage in a smaller resolution, lower resolution, on my disk, on my SSD, which enables me to save a lot of storage space, and therefore I can use this camera, which I couldn't do because it was 14 gigs before for a one-hour movie or something or whatever. Anyway, so I think I'll end this video. It's now 400 megabytes, was it? It can't be. Yeah, it was 400 megabytes, 450 megabytes for an hour and 16 minutes yesterday. Unbelievable. That's much better. And it was still like a 1700 by 1100 pixels. Like, it was great. So I'm amazingly amazed and thrilled. I'm just amazingly flabbergasted by the OBS program. It's OBS Studio 28.0.2 is what I'm using for the Mac right now. Anyway, it's been a great warm-up to the day here. I don't know what else I'll do. So far, I haven't thought about the rest of my day yet, but I'm catching up on some of the news, YouTube videos, and probably I'll be listening to more music. I need to listen to a lot more music, I realized, because that was the only time when I started writing music, was when I was listening to a lot of music, you know, and it was great music. That was the thing that inspired me to make music. So I need to listen to music. And I realize also that it's not just any old music. I can't just listen to, you know, any music. Some music is better than others, obviously, it seems to me. But I want to listen to the very best music. Oh, I had some thoughts for Tommy Emmanuel, you're a great guitar player. You know, in many respects, you've got a lot of technical ability. I like to see a little enthusiasm, you know, but audience interaction, a little bit more audience interaction would be good to see too. And I realize that you can't play at the level you play and still, you know, retain that level while interacting with, at least that's what I believe, that it's not really possible to retain the technical level unless you sort of separate yourself from your audience so that you can, it's not going to be possible to separate yourself from your audience, though. That's the problem. So the problem of retaining the technical level, I just don't think that the technical level is the most important thing, I guess. The audience interaction is more important, but also the playing of, you know, for example, in 12-bar blues, I think that's the greatest example. There's a way to play a solo, and 12-bar blues is just an example that one could describe, you know, use to describe how a solo is played. In the case of 12-bar blues only, the way to play a solo is, there's sort of a way to do it that's the classic way, and it's the way that works. You reach the, I'm trying to think, I'm not sure which bar it is, bar 10 or bar 11. It's near the end, it's before you go into the, let's see, is it the last two bars? Yeah, the last two bars of the 12 bars. You don't want to be climaxing right in those last two bars. You want to climax before that. So you climax just before the last two bars is the best, right? Or somewhere, you want to lead up to a climax sometime shortly before the last two bars. The last two bars, you need to work it out of the climax, back to the next sequence of 12 bars. That's the way to play a solo in 12-bar blues. And also, you want to be rising in pitch is the other thing. You rise in pitch, you might go up and down. There's a lot of freedom. I'm not saying this is rigid, but the basic idea is to rise in pitch up to bar 10. That's the idea in 12-bar blues of the way to play a solo. And a lot of people don't know that at all, don't have any idea about that, right? But because that's an idea that I'm familiar with, it enables me to understand that the same idea, even though it's not the same pattern, the same idea applies to playing solos in all genres of music. There's some pattern that will be better suited for that genre than for the other genres or whatever. But there's a pattern that works, right? And it's got to do with probably with how many notes you play too in the different parts. It's not just how high the note is or the pitch, I mean, but you don't just want to, it's not just an incredible stream of notes at a very high rate that you want to play all the time. That's not what you want to play for every song, obviously, but even within one song that has a lot of high speed picking in it, I don't think you want some contrast, is what I'm saying. You want contrast. That's part of what you're looking for, but it's not, that in itself wouldn't work, right, without having some kind of knowledge of what, like, listen to music is probably the only way to help somebody. I mean, to tell someone to listen to music is probably the only way to help them, because if they listen to great music, they can figure out what they're doing wrong in that regard. Because if it appeals, and also if it appeals to other people, it appeals to, if it appeals to the majority of people, it's probably the right way to do it. I mean, if everybody understands that's a musical concept that really resonates, then it's probably correct, right? And the other thing is about keeping time. When you're a solo guitarist, it's very hard to keep time, extremely hard. And you are really good at that when you're playing with a group of musicians. You keep time really well. But when you're playing alone, and I was worse by far probably, but I was bad at keeping time. We all need to have this ability to keep rigid time when we're playing solo with an instrument, like any instrument, but you can tap your foot, but you need something. You need to get into the rhythm in your mind where it's definitely a fixed rhythm. Then you can focus on, you need to imagine maybe you're playing with another group, but someone has to keep time, right? And if there's no drummer, who's it going to be, But somebody has to do that for you. And if it's got to be you, then that means you're going to probably sacrifice. It won't really be a sacrifice. It's just learning how to do it. But you need to learn how to keep rigid time so that the audience doesn't get lost. Otherwise, you lose the audience because they are keeping time. And they notice when you don't keep that time. You can't just play the notes whenever you choose. Well, sometimes you can. Sometimes you can deviate from rigid time because time signatures can be changed. In classical music, for example, where you can even leave notes out, and some bars can be missing beats by intent. I mean, by design. The composer can write it that way. So it's not like you can't skip any notes, but it has to be done only in the cases where you know you want it that way for a deliberate effect. You don't do that just because you're losing count of the time. So those are important concepts that have to do with the brilliance of a performance. The overall effect of the performance is greatly improved when the timekeeping is accurate. It stays with people longer, I believe, because it's just more memorable. It's more inexplicably beautiful, as to how someone can do that if they can keep time. On the other hand, I'm sure that causes you to sacrifice some other aspect of your creativity if you have to keep rigid time. You're gonna sacrifice the free flowing stream of notes that can come from the instrument when you're just letting it flow. So I'm not saying that, it's just something to consider, whether you can do that or not, or whether it's going to benefit someone or not. But you're not always going to be aware, if you don't listen to your own performances, that you're actually not keeping rigid time, and that the time is not being kept well enough to present the most impressive and optimal musical effect. So that's what I wanted to say to Tommy. But I mean, having said that, I mean, you're inspirational, as a player for many people. The other thing is, you're also very enthusiastic, which is very uncommon, very rare, as a performer, and I think you probably do that because it helps you keep on track and helps you keep able, in sync or whatever. I mean, helps you keep inspired if you're enthusiastic. That's what I think. So, yeah, I mean, it can be distracting. That's what I'm thinking. That can be distracting to the audience. It distracts them away from the music. Yeah. So that's the other thing. That's the other thing. But it's not something you can change about somebody. You can't improve somebody by taking away something that they need. So, if somebody needs to be a certain way. And also, it's part of what makes somebody great is their individuality. You don't want to change anything. You don't want to change anything. It's just a thought that goes through my mind, you know, that makes me think, that makes me wonder, you know, if it's the right way to do it or not. Or if, because a lot of musicians, if you're just playing, right, then the audience can focus on the movement of the hands. But if you're doing things with your head, there's no way to focus on the hands anymore. So the audience is not going to be, well, I mean, not just the hands, the music. I mean, focus on the audience can't really focus on the music. And if that's what you want, then that's fine. But if you want people to focus on the music, I think you have to do less with your body in order for that to happen. So, yeah, I think maybe, I don't know how you can rehearse all of the things you do, but it's rehearsing, doing less and rehearsing what you do, I think would be preferable to playing more. That's what I think. Fewer notes, but more certainty of those notes would be better. That's my thought. I think that's my thought, yeah. I think that's the essence of what my thought is. And you have this ability to throw in these extra notes anytime. That's the amazing talent that you have. But you can improve in the quality of those notes that you throw in. That's what I believe, too. By studying the structure of music and what great composers and great songwriters have done. Study that. Only study the best. Only study the very best. That's what I'm thinking. So anyway, those are my thoughts. It's October 1st, 1700 hours, Word Green, 2022. Saying, have a fabulous, incredible day. Enjoy life. I'll be with you again hopefully soon. I love you all. You know, I want to say bon appetit. I don't know why, but anyway. Bye for now. Is there a way to stop this again? Oh, there it is. Good. Okay. Hasta la vista. Until we meet again.